recording?
Yes.
Will there be musical accompaniment?
No.
Oh. Good morning.
Good morning, councilors, and welcome to the county manager's briefing for today. It's the 29th of April, and we have invited the County Road Administration Board down for an education session and a question and answer session with the board. When I joined the county in 2001 as a finance manager for Public Works, I quickly came to learn that the County Road Administration Board was hugely important to the successful operation of the road fund. We have requirements that we have to meet with the board to achieve standards of good practice and to receive certification, which entitles us to receive state funds from motor vehicle fuel taxes and other sources. So I'm really glad that they're here today, and I think we're going to learn quite a bit. You know, Bill Wright is leaving us after 16 years, and he's been the primary interface with we call the CRAB. And so I think it's timely that we invite these folks down and have an exchange of knowledge before Bill leaves. So with that, I'll turn it over to Heath.
And Bill, you're hanging around in June, right? Oh, yeah,
and the road fund will remain afterwards.
That's the plan.
Check his pockets.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that.
That's quite all right. It's your show.
Well, good morning, everyone. I just thought I'd do just quick introductions. I think some of you have folks already, but we're really glad to have with us. We do a lot of work with them, obviously very important to the success of Public Works. So, Jeff Monson, CRAB, Jay Weber, Walt Olson, and David Poole.
Derek.
And so with that, what's it?
Derek.
What did I say?
David. It's okay, my brother's name's Eric.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Anyway, with that, I'll turn it over to Jay.
Let's speak into the room.
I'm always scared to death of those things, and I never know if that red button on the bottom is going to turn on the microphone or blow up the courthouse, and we'll try to be very careful. Once again, my name is Jay Weber, and I would like to thank the counselors for your very generous allowance of your time with you this morning. What we have planned is not so much a briefing. I think we can be much briefer than that. I think probably we will do with kind of a truncated conversation. We would like to start a few topics. And we want to invite you that if we use a term that you don't understand or one that you think is either beguiling or misleading, stop us right there and jump in. We're used to that. We certainly invite and anticipate your questions. And what we would like to have is as much of an informal conversation about how we approach County Road from the state level, knowing that the success that was just referred to earlier is largely due to your program and your staff in your counties, with us augmenting them to the extent that we're able. We see the success of the 40,000 miles of road, the 3,000 bridges that are out there, and the ferries that are running are testaments and testimonies to the very high professional standing of your engineering staff, your maintenance crews, your design people, and having said that, I will say this. At 64 years of age and 30-some years in this business, I'm not easily impressed anymore. But public works departments in the 39 counties of the state continue to impress me. And I guess when they don't, it would be time for me to be moving on. But I enjoy hearing the success stories and seeing what they bring to the table at those conferences as much as I enjoy sharing what's coming out of Olympia. And right now, that can be a little bit depressing. As you know, we're in between the sessions. They're just starting off today. We hope there may be something for County Road finances and resources in that new revenue package, but we'll see how that turns out. The legislature obviously has yet to decide. To give you an idea about what we do, we were formed in 1965. This will be our 50th anniversary meeting this year. We will hold it in June in Leavenworth, but for 50 years, the County Road Administration Board is a very unique thing. There's nothing really else in the state like us, and frankly, there's nothing else in the 50 states quite like us. There are some which are somewhat analogous. They may do some grant distribution. They may do some collecting of data. None that I know of have oversight other than us. We do all three of those things. We do data collection. We do administration and regulation under the state constitution, the state laws, and the WACs. And we also do funding, and we do assistance both in engineering as well as computers and advocacy for the county interest before the legislature. We were formed largely as a regulatory agency that takes up most of our time, and most of our time outside of the office is spent in a regulatory mode. However, the first time that the board met in 1965, there was kind of a communal head-scratching that went on for a bit, and they were asking the question, are we a county agency or are we a state agency? And there was nothing like us before, hasn't been anything like us since, was probably a logical question. And they did what commissioners and engineers do. They asked the AG, and the AG said, oh, no mistake about it, you are a state agency. So at their second meeting, 3 months later, they said, okay, we've got the answer to that. It's probably best that we don't act too much like one. That little exchange, which you will find written verbatim in the first minutes of those two meetings, actually did happen. That was the response. And that is what set the tone of the culture of the agency, which I believe has held since that time through four directors, and I forget how many staff total now, but yes, we administer, and yes, we regulate. We try to do it from an assistance mode and an educational mode as much as possible. The legislature did give us the authority that if we had to withhold gas tax from the counties, and I'm extremely thankful that in 50 years, dealing with 39 counties, we have never had to do that. Occasionally, we may have to pull alongside and whisper over a shoulder and say, now, did you really know that what you're intending to do here may not be to the thrust and spirit of the statute that's directing this work? Usually that kind of a conversation is all that's necessary. To those occasional times when infractions have occurred, they have been of short duration and are largely caused by inadvertence. And that's why we feel advocacy, educational, and assistance, if we can forestall or prevent those inadvertent activities, then our time is well spent keeping the counties from the brink of the precipice rather than trying to pick up pieces after they go over. So we're very thankful for that. So we do regulatory by means of standard of good practice, and I believe Derek is going to be talking about that a little later. The funding programs that we provide for the counties, although they're small, we believe they're important. The assistance that we provide for engineers, the executive, in training, and to your design staff, will also be dealt with, and then the advocacy, both local and statewide, it isn't just statewide, it's also nationally. We represent county interests whenever NACE meets as well. And by the way, the National Association of County Engineers will be meeting in Tacoma in 2016, and we hope to see a lot of you there when that happens. We will be there in force. In detail, the duties of the board, we established by rule standards of good practice for the administration of county roads. And I simply want to point out, for those who are hearing me today, that those rules are written in WAC, in the absence of court dicta, according to the Attorney General, has the force of law. So these are rules and not necessarily suggestions. I will say this, that in the development of the WAC, in the 50 years of our existence, no WAC has been developed without close consultation and input, largely written by the county engineers themselves and the county commissioners who will be guided and directed by those WACs. We're pleased by that. We also report based on those standards of good practice and our review of those back to the board as it meets. The certification has just been achieved at the last board meeting. If you've not received your standard of good practice, I'm here to tell you that it is in the mail. You may have already received it. They should have gone out last week. And we're very pleased that Clark County is one of 39 that has achieved the standard of good practice. No conditional certificates and no withholding of a certificate was necessary this year and has not been for some long time. We're very pleased by that. And I think that also is another testament to the professionalism of your staff here. We certainly cannot do that for them. That is something that they do. They report to us, and basically we're in a review mode of that. But they're coming alongside achieving each one of those standards. Is the day-to-day work that they're doing. And we're here to tell you from the level that we fly, looking over all those reports, that Clark County is maintaining a very high standard indeed, and you ought to be very pleased of the work that's being done in public works in Clark County today. We report annually based on that, not only to our board, but to the state legislatures, to the chair of the Transportation Commission, to the Secretary of Transportation, to the governor. That report is done in hard copy form. We still transmit that way. It is also available On an annual basis, it's there now on the website, the County Road Administration Board. You just come to crab.wa.gov and it'll pop up and it'll be there. We also submit, which are less official but no less timely, quarterly reports as well. So that any time that when John Q. Public, those would be mostly my in-laws, when they tap in, then the information they received is not only correct, it's also timely. Out-of-date information is not much use. Basically, that's who we are and what we do, other than I would say that the board is made up of six county legislative authority representatives, beginning with 20,000 and under in population is represented, between 20 and 125,000 is represented, and then counties over 125,000, which of course would include Clark County, is represented as well. And we are unique in this way. The governor... Oh.
I just have to say how refreshing it is to hear. Not only are you not coming across as a state agency, but you certainly don't talk like a state agency.
Had I had better schooling, perhaps I might.
So the down-to-earth refreshment that I hear that you represent county interests in practical ways, and all of that down-to-earth makeup that you just conveyed to us is really good. I just could not have heard a better presentation of the introduction of your board.
Well, I would be very happy to pass those good words along to the rest of the staff who are not represented here today, who do the lion's share of that very work. And I'll give you our modus operandi. We get questions all the time from counties. Phone will ring. We may not get a name right away. We'll just get a question. Can we legally do? Our de facto and our default response is yes, unless there is a state statute or a state WAC that strictly prohibits it. That goes with our interpretation of the statutes as well as our interpreting our own WACs in dealing with the funding programs for RAP and CAP that will be gotten into later. That allows for greater flexibility at the local level, and since my business or my experience with the county since 1987 as an elected official and then since at CRAP, I have found that most state programs work best when the flexibility is more at the local level than at mine. And as much as we can practically keep it there, I think it's better for us, I think it's better for you, and it's certainly better for the taxpaying citizen who backs up that gas pump, you know, twice a week. And unless there are questions, we're ready to move along with this truncated conversation to another topic, another point, another speaker. But I'll be happy to take questions if you have them now.
Clarify that the board is made up of six and three.
Yeah, six county legislative authority representatives and three county engineers. And we are unique in that we are appointed by the Association of Counties. We are not appointed by the governor. And the engineers' names are submitted to the executive committee of WASAC by the Engineers Association. That's where the nominations take place, and then the appointments are actually done by the executive committee at WASAC. So we are not appointed by the governor. We're not part of the legislative branch. We're not part of the executive branch. We are unique. We are a creature of the legislature, but we are the servants of the counties, and that's kind of the way we like it. Yes, sir.
You know, just an observation. I think the three fellows with you today are all county engineers, past county engineers of public works.
I was going to cover that.
These three gentlemen are. I'm the odd one out. I'm a former county commissioner, and so I have to tug my forelock every time I come into the office. And when you come into the CRAB, because not all of our engineers are here, we're either engineers or IT people. I'm not an engineer, and I certainly don't do IT, and when I come into the office in the morning, I feel like an arsonist in a room full of fire marshals. They're all very nice fire marshals, but that's the way I feel. We had it figured up one time, how many years? 106 years among us?
160.
60! Oh, that's even worse.
160 years of collective experience amongst the engineers and IT folks and the in the office. It's really quite remarkable that the amount of depth that we can bring to almost any questions.
It works like this. If you find yourself in trouble, call one of these three gentlemen, because they've probably been there before you and found a way of getting out without anybody noticing.
and
made it look easy.
Engineers rarely...
I think you were there before me, and you're still there after that.
I came to Crab as a board member in 1989, I believe. And there were 2 years in which I was unaffiliated with Crab and then came back in a staff position. So I'm one of, and Walt has also sat on both sides of that table as well. So has Derek. So we know what it is to sit on the commissioner side and the engineer side of that table, as well as to be the supplicant side, the staff side. I'm not sure which one has been more rewarding, but they all have their own unique perspective. And we find it, I don't know how well represented, but certainly represented in us.
One thing I'd like to clarify here, Jeff Munson, is I want to make sure that, does everybody in the room have a copy of the, what is referred to as a workbook? And as far as PowerPoint slides, what I'm gonna, my part of my job is to make sure you notice that when we move on to topic, notice the page number in the upper right-hand corner as far as where in the notebook we're speaking from. Don't rely on the PowerPoint to give you all the information. Now with that, maybe we could do just a little more introduction that Jay is correct. That I've been with Crab for about 8 years now, but prior to that I was 25 years between Whatcom and Skagit County, including 13 years as the Whatcom County Public Works Director. I was county engineer there momentarily because of charter assignments and what have you, but I was also the county engineer in Skagit County.
My name is Derek Poley. I've been with Crab about 2 years. Prior to that, I was 13 years as the Public Works Director and County Road Engineer at Grant County. And then prior to that, I was 5 years as the County Engineer in Whitman County.
And again, I'm Walt Olson. I'm 32 years in the service of the state. And I began my humble career in Adams County as the rear chainman on the survey crew, and worked my way to county engineer in a 13-year career. So I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to serve Adams County and Ponderay County as county engineer before coming to work at Crab. And let me just preface my remarks by saying these 39 unique individuals that we call county engineers are some of the most dedicated professionals in the United States. Having just returned from Florida at the National Association of County Engineers meeting, it's remarkable how far ahead of the rest of the country our association and our group of engineers, how forward-thinking we all are. It's really quite remarkable. And I commend every one of them for that. And with that, I never get an easy question anymore. All of the easy questions are already answered by very capable engineers, such as Mr. Henderson. No, when the question comes to me, it's usually with a fair amount of foreboding in their voice. They are looking for help, please. we're in a spot, and so quite frequently, a number of my discussions with the engineers begin with, I listen quite well for being an engineer, then I go, well, let me get back to you on that. Give me about 20 minutes, and let me see what I can pull together as far as, you know, the brain trust around the office at the time, and we'll try and get an answer back to you just as quickly as we possibly can. I think the longest it took for us to actually sit down and formulate an adequate answer was about 4 hours, but generally we can get back in about a half an hour. I will pull all of these gentlemen into my office, and we will sit and we will throw open the law books, not the computer programs, the law books, and we will go back and forth through the law until we are fully satisfied that we can give an answer that is defensible to that engineering staff. And so that's kind of the way we play it. It works really, really well. we've had some great successes, and we've managed to help a number of counties keep from going over the precipice, if you will. My portion of the presentation has to do with the Office of the County Engineer and the relationship with county legislative authority. This is a very special relationship that exists in state law and is actually codified in RCW 3680. Part of that relationship also depends on the relationship between the county legislative authority and their responsibilities and duties as established under RCW 3675020, which says, in part, all of the county roads shall be established, constructed, and maintained by the county legislative authority. And such work shall be done in accordance with the adopted county road standards under the supervision and direction of the county engineer. That in itself describes pretty much the legal relationship between the county engineer and the legislative authority. The county engineer works at the pleasure of the board. And nowhere else in statute is that relationship described like that. Everyone else is an elected official or another appointed official. But the relationship between the engineer and the county legislative authority is one that is very special. It goes on, the county legislative authority shall employ a county road engineer. Now you'll notice that it says county road engineer. There are several other iterations of this that are in statute. It might be written as the county engineer or the engineer. At any rate, whichever it is, we've generally referred to that as the county engineer. And so you will see it in a couple of different forms, but it is always referring to the same person. So there's really no difference there. And that county engineer shall be registered and licensed as a professional civil engineer in the state. That is a requirement that has been in place since the late 30s, and has served this county or this county and this state very well. That puts, in many cases in the early days, the county engineer was probably one of the more highly educated of the professionals that would have an office at the courthouse, other than possibly the prosecuting attorney. He would have had some form of schooling. He would have had some certification. Excuse me. And so he was often, brought to counsel. And I think that's probably why the relationship between the legislative authority and the county engineer is actually codified the way that it is. I mentioned that the engineer serves at the pleasure of the board. Nothing in that relationship is more tenuous, I guess, in some cases than that particular state. I always figured I worked on a 1 week contract with my board, because on any Monday morning, I could go to a board meeting and find out that perhaps by the end of the day I would be unemployed. I always chose to keep my commissioners happy with me. That was my prime directive. A former county engineer that I first worked for gave me some very sound advice on a couple of occasions. He said, number one, keep us off of the front page of the newspaper. Number two, if you can't do that, please put it on the below the fold. So, and I thought, that's good advice, Mr. Kavanaugh. Thank you very much. I will remember that always.
Poor Walt, if only he knew that new commissioners are not looking to fire engineers. We're always scared they're going to quit.
Well, I was told one time that that engineers were a dime a dozen. I didn't have a dime in my pocket at the moment.
I had a dozen.
Let's talk a little bit about the office of the county engineer, because that sounds like the office of Mr. Henderson. It is not. It is the collective staff of Mr. Henderson's office that is truly the office of the engineer. That office is also an office of record, much as the auditor's office is. Many of the records that are filed and kept in the engineer's office have to do with early establishments of roads. There may be right-of-way deeds. There are certain other records that are kept there that are kept no place else in the courthouse. So it's very important that office, that the staff of the office understand that at any time a records request could be filed in the engineer's office, and those records might have to be produced. So that's part of the duties that we take somewhat for granted, I think, but is really a very important part of what the county engineer's office really does. All of the regulated activities and procedures are based on the protection and use of the road fund. Protection and use of the road fund under the 18th Amendment. That is our guiding principle that those funds are to be used for the proper county road purpose and for a proper highway purpose. And that is the principle that we work off of.
So to be confused with transportation.
Yes, thank you, Derek. Not to be confused with transportation purposes, which we sometimes get caught up in, and we're somewhat lax in our terms from time to time.
If I might clarify that just a bit, the courts of the state, the Supreme Court of the state, has held in Slavin versus O'Connell that all transportation is not roads. Roads is something that you can blade, that you can stripe, and that you can pave, you can drive on. For instance, a transit bus is not a road. It is not a highway. Therefore, the purpose and support of transit is not a proper use of a highway or road dollar. Doesn't mean that it is less important. It means that there are other pots of money for that. And I'm sure transit will argue the same as we do. There's not enough in either pot, but those are the pots that we're left with. That's the distinction that Walt's making.
I'm glad to hear you make that distinction, because being on the border here with Portland, they have a very different view than we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Quite often we run into the culture, and we respect that culture, different than ours, that sees roads as an obsolete, previous century kind of a resource, and that the war on cars should result in everybody getting on transit by rail and by land, bus, rapid transit, and those kinds of things. In reality, and so they're spending so much of their road fund on things other than roads and bridges and highways. And I'm so glad to hear the focus and the requirement for the road fund to be used for roads.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly a constitutional mandate, and for the county road taxes that you levy here in the county, it's not constitutionally protected, but it is statutorily protected to the same purposes as the 18th Amendment, with certain very limited exceptions written into that statute. And that's what the legislature has largely charged us to make sure, that those sideboards remain, that they put in place, remain observed by the counties. And we're happy to say that they are.
In terminology, that some of those things that demonstrates that is we have complete streets, we have multimodal, we have road diets, those kind of things that just try to take from that and build things other than roads. So I'm thankful to hear the focus
one other aspect of that, if I might just chime in. And that is, cities do not have the same... they do not have a protected road fund, for instance. They have gas tax dollars, obviously. But they can use it from any source for almost any purpose within inside the city. And one of the things that I've noticed where counties can get themselves into trouble as the urban core begins to expand in your, within your urban growth area but outside the incorporated city limits, a lot of your constituents will begin to think that the use of a road dollar is the same on that side of the line as it is side, because there are sidewalks, there are gutters, there are the complete streets that you're talking about. But the legislature and the courts still view you as the regional transportation provider, and that's done by surface transportation, by counties, by roads, and for the four counties that operate them, ferries. Automobile ferries, not passenger ferries, automobile ferries. We have four operating counties for those two.
I was very reminded of that exception.
I'm very well aware of that exception. I'm scared of the water, that's why.
Last, I'd like to tackle the subject of the Clark County Charter. And it appears from our initial reading of the charter that none of the duties of the county engineer have been transferred at any of the other staff, and we are quite happy to see that. We feel like we need a single point of contact for all things county road, and I'm very happy that come to know Mr. Henderson as I have over the last couple of years. He's very capable and has a great staff from what we have seen in some of the trainings that they have attended. So commend you for making that appointment. And,
I must say, from your point of view, I'm so glad to hear the esteem and respect for Public Works Department and under the leadership of Heath Henderson. I can just simply say, from our own internal point of view, our esteem and our respect could not be higher. They have great relationships, and they're heroes in our eyes, and we just want to make sure we get them fitted for capes.
if I might say, just briefly additional to that, obviously, a county, in particular charter counties, can set themselves up to administer practically any way they want to that's not, you know, in violation of their own charter. Things may change somewhere down the road. I would simply say that as an elected official in central Washington County, in my personal experience, the closer that I remain in personal contact with the expertise, and not necessarily the personality, but the expertise of the county engineer and the fine people that work for him, the easier it was for me to do my job. No, I didn't want to be micromanaging him. That's what Public Works Director is for and that kind of thing. But the more that I knew what he was doing and why he was doing it made my job and my ability to deal with my constituents, well, it works like this. The fewer times I had to say, I don't know, those are the three words that nobody wants to tell a constituent at any time that you run into them at the grocery store or a public meeting. And the closer that I could remain with that professional relationship, I had a very good one with my engineer. I'm glad to hear that you do with yours as well. And it's part of our job to help that relationship succeed.
Time with the board is invaluable. Time with the council is invaluable. Pardon me. I lapsed back to my old ways when I, as a former county engineer. But those times that I had before my board were the times where I got to sell my program to my board, and I'm sure that Mr. Henderson has those same needs to make sure that council is on board with the direction that the department is going. So I would encourage continued access and time with the county engineer in the years to come.
And the reason why I found it helpful, and that time is invaluable to the board as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it allows the board, whether it's three, whether it's five, whether it's seven, how many, it allows them to coalesce as a board and to deal. I do not know how our engineer did it with three bosses sitting up there in front of them. So it allowed us to coalesce into, you know, to one active voice, obviously the chair speaking for us, but it was a consensus that he was hearing and the support of a board, not of one person, me, or, you know, or two on out. The board spoke with one voice with the engineer, whether we were in agreement with each other or not. And the time with the engineer allowed us to develop that relationship among ourselves, which was also invaluable.
Can I answer any questions right away?
Well, I just want to comment on the issue of the Clark County Charter. To be honest with you, we're not having a conversation about where the divisions of authority are. And certainly as a newer counselor, how do we work together for success? And that partnership exists and is being built every day. And the key is knowing and respecting the staff, our key people, who are highly professional, highly knowledgeable, respecting them, respecting their department, respecting the work that they do. That's key in any organization. And I don't spend any time thinking about what parts of the charter divide us. I'm just thinking about following the path we're on, which is doing a superb job in, for example, our transportation department, all the way with the highest quality people. It's an exciting time to be here.
Yeah, we only mention that as an aside, because there are a number of councils that have chosen to restrict the access through the use through the office of the county administrator, and while that is a perfectly, you know, serviceable type of an arrangement, I think Mr. Henderson would probably really values and appreciates the time he has before council to be able to ensure that the programs are going forward in the direction that the council would like to see. So I think it's very important to maintain that relationship, that special relationship between the council and the county engineer.
And if I might, the comments that we're directing toward the charter is not whether you should pursue this aspect or that aspect. Charter counties, because they are charter counties, have greater flexibility. And Walt mentioned before the single point of contact. That's important in almost all the other counties because it's a single point of responsibility. If a charter county chooses to segment that responsibility, then our WAC says that we have a right to ask you to tell us exactly who is doing what if the engineer doesn't have it all. That's all we're saying there. Excuse me.
And I see the need for that.
We find it helpful to know who's doing what and when. I'm sure you do as well. But if I was struck by your choice of words, and if you don't mind, I may use them myself with other counties, but thank you.
No other questions? I'll turn it over to...
I just echo that we are a team, and that healthy relationship, and hear that word relationship over and over, and everybody wins when we're on the same page and we work together. We're a football team that scores some touchdowns.
Absolutely.
Glad to hear it.
I'm going to spend a couple of minutes talking about money. Not that anybody in the room is interested in that topic. It's usually just cold and just ignored. In this case, we're talking about the road fund, and I'm expecting that everybody in the room has had a fair amount of experience about rules that follow the money. The more money, the more creative you are in mixing money together, typically the smaller the permissive things you can do collectively becomes, because every dollar brings rules with it. Let me spend just a couple minutes talking about the road fund itself to kind of go back and reinforce a couple things that both Walt and Jay have said so far. First off, because there is a county road fund and these revenues must be deposited in it, is why I'm choosing the words the way I'm going to use them. The motor vehicle fuel tax that is allocated to each county is deposited into the road fund. Motor vehicle fuel tax is constitutionally protected for highway purposes, as Jay said. State highway, city streets, county roads, auto ferries, etc. So that's the first boundary. It shall be used for a highway purpose. Another major revenue source going into the road fund is the road levy, property tax. And within the construction of state statute, the road levy, the taxing district, is the unincorporated area of the county only. And therefore, once you marry those two together, it is a highway purpose benefiting the taxpayers of the unincorporated area. One more piece put on top of that. You already know this, that the state as an entity can do anything unless the Constitution says it can't. A city county cannot do anything unless statute authorizes it explicitly. Therefore, the third layer of what a road purpose is in statute of, is the county given permission to use road funds on things? So, statute must say you can. It must be a highway purpose benefiting the unincorporated area. And most of our conversations with counties is really sort of that dialogue of, can I use the road fund to do this thing? I have to admit that when we have that conversation with a county, we tend to make the legal boundary a little bit smaller in order to say, if you're inside this boundary, we can say absolutely yes. If you want to stretch that boundary a little bit, you may need to get your prosecuting attorney involved, and or we may need to get some AG advice, because we begin to press up against those boundaries that may or may not have ever been tested. So I want to make sure it was clear that the reason we say some of the things we do, it's really about that analysis of those three boundaries: fuel tax, property tax, statutory authority. I already made reference to as well that rules follow money. So anytime you supplement your road fund, a construction project, what have you, with a grant agreement, a shared financing agreement, those agreements bring probably an adjustment in the boundaries.
Usually not this way.
And it's usually not a way to stretch it out. It is a way to, don't forget, when I accept money, all the things I understand might get thrown out because I just created a very restrictive boundary because of the revenue source I chose, or I chose to be creative with. Sometimes our advice is, you know, you may want to maintain some separation of that project just so that you don't overrule yourself. Maintain flexibility as much as you can, and sometimes that's an accounting and project definition standpoint before you get too creative. The last thing I will mention, which is actually number four on in the workbook, is that, and all of those things are true, assuming you're in full compliance with reporting, certifications, et cetera, et cetera. Then you get the ability to make those decisions. And we clearly do not like to influence your decision making. We would rather not be in that room. And we would do everything we can to make sure we're not in that room. But the way we do it, again, reinforcing something Jay said earlier, is sitting here today and in settings like this is to make sure we have an opportunity to have that conversation about, we're not sure about this or what are the options, way before it ever becomes, you've already crossed the line, now what are we going to do? Questions?
And I don't know why it usually takes an awful lot more language to draw a smaller box, but that's the way most grant programs are. And for our own, I must apologize.
Are you done already?
I am.
Wow. Are you asleep?
He finished his segment. He's rarely done.
Well, that's because it was either, oh, that was clear, or what did you say?
I see a hand.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the clarity. The straightforward definitions that you just laid out are so clear. I had not heard those boundaries described so well. For instance, the state legislature can do anything they want as long as the state constitution says they can't. You contrasted that with the counties can only do what the constitution specifically says they can do. I have not heard that.
And the statutes.
And the statutes.
One thing I will reinforce with that, though, too, from a statutory standpoint. If the legislature were to pass an amendment to what is a road purpose and say you can use the road fund to finance rest stops in Oregon, the Constitution and your property tax restrictions would not allow that law to be implemented because the three must work together. The legislature does not have the ability to contradict property tax limitations and fuel tax limitations.
Relative to that, earlier you heard me say that a lot of the problems, when problems have developed, it's because of inadvertence. Somebody has done something without, you know, looking down the long road. I would simply say that in most of those occurrences, it began with these words, but the law doesn't prohibit it, so therefore we can do it. That's usually where it starts. And when you hear that at the county level, then I suggest that the red flag should go up, buttonhole that, you know, your prosecutor and say, okay, but can it be liberally construed to allow this? And the answer to that that the courts have been given is, the legislature may construe liberally, you must construe constructively. If it doesn't say you can, because you are in fact an agent of the state, you're different from the city in that regard. You are an agent from the state, and it's like any agent that you hire. They're hired to do very specific things beyond which they're not allowed to operate. You don't write contracts any other way. And that's how the legislature views the counties. Rightfully so. They also view us sometimes as a competitor for funds, and I think that's mistaken, but there we are.
We have another little tenet that we usually throw that we throw out when we're doing county engineer training is a couple of catchphrases that we use. One is, it depends, because it generally does depend on the situation. There are a number of different variables that go into almost any of these solutions, and we really want to examine all of those because it does depend. The other is, just because you can doesn't mean you should. I think that's the one that that gets the most airplay probably from everybody because it's permissive. But is it really the right thing to do? And so we want to make sure that it's what's in the county's best interest, you know, to do in any decision. And a lot of times the third tenet is consult your local prosecutor, because none of the three of us are lawyers, although we play them at crab once in a while, reluctantly. Good legal counsel should be sought on any number of occasions. So that was all I had.
All right, next section is mine. So you heard Jay earlier describe the County Road Administration Board as a state agency. That we are. We choose to try and not act that way most of the time. But one of the abilities and responsibilities we do have is to write rules. And if you look at the number of rules that Crabb has written over the years and has repealed, we probably are unique amongst any of the other state agencies. We have, you know, by order of magnitude, way fewer rules than anybody else. And so we'll talk about a few of them here. So in order to comply with our basic mandate, we've had to develop rules of organization, standards of good practice, primarily that's what I'll talk about here. And Crabb's basic day-to-day relationship with the counties is through the county engineer, through these standards of good practice, and so that's where we have a lot of contact. And those standards of good practice basically are best management practices for the administration of the county road department and the road fund. And those practices are maintenance management, vacancy in the county engineer, that process by which you will go through to refill it. Priority programming, that's priority programming for your projects. The six-year transportation improvement program, which is your six-year planning document process. Annual construction program, which is what your capital program is going to look like for the coming year. County forces construction, that is the ability that is unique to counties, that you have the ability to utilize your own maintenance county forces to do construction work. It's the only agency in the state of Washington that's allowed to do that. Basically public work as opposed to public, the office of public works director. Public work in the state of Washington is under statute required to be publicly bid, competitively bid. The only exception to that is county forces construction ability. And that's an important
point. Derek?
Yes.
A city does have the authority, but it's limited to $10,000.
Yeah, it's negative.
The smallest county in the state, their limit is $800,000.
There are some areas in which the legislature does trust you. That's one of them, and it's an important one.
The next standard of practice is you have to do an annual inspection. Well, it's actually a 24-month minimum inspection of all your bridges in the county. Accident reports, the counties are required to respond to requests from the state's traffic data office for information regarding accidents that occur within the county jurisdiction. Must have a policy for accommodating public utilities within the county road right-of-way. Adoption of written policies. This one is a compilation of about five or six separate policies that are required to be utilized by counties. And this is a really old one, but it's things like having a personnel policy and a complaint handling policy and policies like that. Yeah, work for others to do like reimbursable work for, say, a small city or another county agency, that sort of thing. County road log, each county must maintain a county road log that has a minimum of information applied within that. It's an asset and inventory management program. We utilize that information in order to distribute the county's share of the fuel tax on a monthly basis. So there are some minimum fields that each county is required to maintain. We use that information in order to calculate the share. And then pavement management. Pavement management is a methodology by which you utilize visual data taken in the field for managing maintenance work and preservation work on your paved arterial. And the rest of the WACs have to do with the management and administration of the Rural RTO program, which is the grant program that the County Road Administration Board manages. That is also part of the fuel tax that comes to counties. The County Arterial Preservation Program, which is another set aside of county fuel taxes that comes to counties. That is a direct distribution based on a formula. And then the County Ferry Capital Improvement Program. There are four counties that have vehicle ferries, which they get a portion of fuel tax for the support of those ferries. And then they have to maintain a program, a capital improvement program for us. Because they have the ability, is it every 14 years?
Yeah.
Every 14 years to come to...
Every four years to come
to the County Road Administration Board to request the ability to bring a ferry project forward. If it fits the criteria, then we would forward that request to the legislature, and the legislature would then make a determination to fund that off the top of the fuel taxes that come to counties.
Any questions? Every county, if they want to, can get in the ferry business? through a procedure?
We
Our recommendation
don't.
Is you don't.
Because if you do, you will never get rid of it. Ever.
That's Wakayakan County.
Yeah.
The only interstate ferry that a county runs.
Yeah. Any questions, sir? All right. I get to do another one.
You did so well with the first one.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about road maintenance and construction, traffic regulatory oversight, reporting requirements for maintenance and construction. It's based both on state legal standards and how the work is accomplished. And like I mentioned a little bit earlier, in general, public work is required to be publicly bid, competitively bid. Counties, though, have that fairly substantial ability to do county forces construction with their own forces. So the two things that are exempt from publicly bidding is ordinary maintenance and county forces construction. Ordinary maintenance is done by your own forces. And there's a lot of activities that are incorporated under ordinary maintenance, including preservation activities like seal coats and crack sealing and even overlays. Even though an overlay you may choose to, for a business practice, most of them choose to run it through their capital program, it's still considered preservation activity. Road maintenance, as far as the standards of good practice, a maintenance management program is required to be in place. Basically, it's required to have a system inventory, activity guidelines for the types of maintenance activities that counties will be regularly employing, a regular budgeting process, you have a handle on your resource needs and availability, and track accomplishments in the field, and then use that cycle and information to then help you plan the next cycle. Pavement management, again, it's a system inventory. It's a way of visually acquiring system characteristics, use that to develop system degradation and use that to help you plan future maintenance and preservation activities. And the County Arterial Preservation Program is the direct beneficiary of that big preservation process. Road construction, there is a continuum of planning and programming that goes on that you will use, that you're familiar with. On an annual basis, you'll see your engineer, public works departments bring forward to you the 6-year transportation improvement program, which is a public hearing process, and in the process, they give you the priority programming information for projects that are in the queue and add projects that either the public or yourselves or the department feels like need to be brought into the system. You'll also get a bridge inspection and report that gives you good information on what your bridge system looks like, what the conditions are, what the projects have been completed, what projects are upcoming, what projects need some focus. All that needs to be in place as you go through this priority program. Then, so that takes place. Then after that, you've got the annual construction program, which you should be getting a draft around the first week of October. And in that process, county engineer is going to propose to you what projects will be brought forward to construction in the following year, as well as and specifically which projects will be dealt with by county forces construction. Also, provide you major equipment purchases that are planned, and then the annual, and this is important, it's a timing issue, but the annual construction program must be adopted before you adopt the road fund budget and the county budget. And then county forces construction, like I described earlier, it's a construction methodology. The authority for that, primarily the vast quantity of the authority for that resides with the counties. Like Jeff said, there is some limited ability by the cities, but it's very minimal. The state's intent is that all public work be publicly bid, competitively bid.
Now, the advantage to counties with county forces is that in certain activities, specifically pavement preservation, which could go capital or could go on maintenance, depending on how you want to do it as a business practice, counties are much more cost-effective in providing those activities. They do it every year. Their crews are well-tuned. Some of these activities are not well preserved in the private sector as far as the ability to do them. So, any questions?
Mr. Chair, could I propose a short break?
Sure.
10 minutes?
Okay. In other words, you're proposing a 10-minute break.
Okay. Resume at 20 after?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.